The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Pierre-Sylvain Lefebvre was fired as the coach of the Laval Rocket today. Just your thoughts on that after 6 years. The Laval Rocket this season finished last, much like the Montreal Canadiens. They were last in penalty killing in the American Hockey League. They won 10 games on home ice in their first year in Laval. I don't think anybody is surprised by this, except perhaps maybe Sylvain Lefebvre, who had a year to go on his contract.
Well, that's okay. He's got the insurance. He'll get paid on that, which is good. Here's my thought on that, having been part of these things. First of all, coaches that are hired in the American Hockey League, if you're hiring them to win championships, then you don't know how to put a team together. You're hiring them to produce players for your NHL team. Now, I would say that they probably did not produce enough players for their NHL team. And if you're going to run your American League team to win, you better do what Toronto does. And you pay players exorbitant amounts of money that are older players, and you only have room for maybe five or six young ones, and the rest of them stay in junior or college, and then you'd slowly develop those five or six ones, but they're surrounded by older veteran players that are making very good dollars so that you're developing your players in a winning environment. But the most important thing for a coach in the American League, it's not so much to win, it's to develop players. And if you can develop two or three NHLers every year at the American League level, you are really good at your job.
Well, the Canadiens did that this year, right? Charles Hudon, after spending 3 years in the American Hockey League, played a full year his rookie season. Charlie Lindgren, for a stretch, was their goaltender once when Carey Price went down. The big sticking issue, of course, is Michael McCarron, who has not developed.
I agree with. But that's one of those where the head coach can only dig so deep on a player like that. I know you remember this. We talked about it when he decided not to go to Western Michigan. I told you, major mistake. Major, major mistake. And you can see what's happened. So the coach inherited a flawed player to begin with. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. I don't know him. Doesn't mean he's a bad player, potentially. But the process was flawed from the start. And that's what you've run into. But you need to develop 2 to 3 players every year in the American League. And if you don't, you won't win. I'm going to give you another story. When I was in Hartford, the Springfield Indians, and that's what they were called at the time, were winning championships, whether it was under the late Jimmy Roberts or with Jay Leach there. They were winning championships. We had no players going through there. We had no NHL players. We had all older guys that were really good AHL players. And Terry Yake was a great AHL player, and he eventually had a nice NHL career. He was the one guy I could think of that came up and really helped us. But we had no players coming through there. So our team wasn't very good.
Now, let me read you the paragraph, the statement that Marc Bergevin released, okay, in announcing this news. Because there's a couple of aspects here I'd really love to pick your brain on. I would like to sincerely thank Sylvain for his loyalty, his hard work, and his contribution to the Montreal Canadiens organization over the past 6 seasons with Hamilton, St. John's, and Laval. Challenges are extremely demanding as a head coach in the American Hockey League, and Sylvain and his group had to overcome several difficult situations over the years. The decision to remove Sylvain from his coaching duties was a difficult one because I have a lot of respect for him and I consider him to be an excellent coach. I took the time to discuss the situation with Larry Carrière and concluded that our development team needed a new direction in the head coaching position.
That's the key word, development. And in order to develop players, you have to have a process. And the first question I would ask if I were Jeff Molson, what's our process for developing players? And they better have an answer.
How is the development team for an organization supposed to work? Like the easiest thing to do is look at young players and they climb the ladder and they become successful NHL players, and you look at the organization and you say they know what they're doing. They're developing their players. Like the people involved, Martin LaPointe was moved out of that after he had that for a few years. Rob Ramage is involved. Larry Carriere, obviously, he's the general manager at Laval.
Yeah.
The fact that Bergevin mentioned Larry Carriere specifically in the statement would lead you to believe that he's going to remain in that position. I'm just guessing on that. So how is it supposed to work?
Let's use the Pittsburgh Penguins as an example. Do you know who Brian Rust is? Do you know who Jake Guentzel is? Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, these are...
They develop players internally, and they have for years, because Ray Shiro created the prototype. And what they did was they hired the very best people they could. They put a lot of emphasis on strength and conditioning. They had skating coaches involved. But everything that they did at the American, and still do, by the way, Clark Donatelli is a coach there now, and they hired Tim Army, who was an assistant coach, a longtime assistant coach in Colorado, a head coach at the college level, a guy that was drafted by the New Jersey Devils, so another really competent coach with NHL experience. They put them in there, and they refine the player skills, but everything they do systematically on the ice is the same as what they're doing at the NHL level, so that the player can constantly progress in the ideology that you're implementing at the NHL level, and so there's no loss of traction when he does get up and play in the NHL. But it's not just their game sense. It's making their body stronger, making their legs more powerful, developing their quickness, working with their skill sets. I watched, it's a great one, Carter Rowney's another one. He's a perfect example. I watched Carter Rowney the other day. He was on the ice at 8:30 in the morning the day before game one and the day of game one. He was on the ice by himself in Pittsburgh with their skill development coach. And I wanted to shoot the whole thing because I wanted to put it on TV so people could see what goes into some of this. We just didn't have anybody operating cameras in the building. It's exactly what you need to do. It's exactly what used to happen in Montreal when Claude Ruel was an assistant coach there. That's what you need to do. You got to have that.
Pierre, you know, like looking at it, we all know the Canadiens don't have as many talented young players as some of the other teams in the National Hockey League. And we see the head coach of the AHL team get fired today. But the question remains, where is the biggest issue? Is it coaching at the American League level? Is it drafting? Is it developing players? Is it the players who, when they're in the American Hockey League, they're not doing the types of things they need to be doing? Like, where is the issue? Or is it a combination of all the things I just mentioned?
I haven't seen their team play. And I don't know what their practice, you know, what they do practice-wise, Mitch. I don't know what they do with their off-ice conditioning. These are all things that are very realistic. I don't know what they do with their weigh-ins. I mean, I don't, I'm not there. But I do know what some of the teams do. I know what New Jersey does with their group. I know what Pittsburgh does with their group. I know what Detroit does with their group because I talk to their people about it. And so there's certain teams that I'm very well aware of what they're doing. I don't know what Montreal's doing. I couldn't begin to tell you.
So in the interview process to come, when they look at Sylvain Lefebvre's replacement, how forward-looking are they? They're talking development. Are they talking about a coach's development? Are they talking about who he might want to hire as assistants in Laval? Like, is this all-encompassing?
The first question I would ask is, what's the difference between Generation X and Generation Z? And if the guy doesn't have an answer to that, then he doesn't know what's going on with young players in the league, because there's two different – it's really different now. You better know exactly what kids are into growing up and how they handle different things growing up. And if you don't know that, you can't coach in that league.
It's funny because for a second consecutive day, I heard Mike Babcock talking about Austin Matthews, the difficulties of social media, players that age being on social media, reading a lot of negative things and then getting down on themselves. And he said, look, I don't know what that's about. I don't read that stuff. I don't know much about Twitter, but I know that the young players do, and it can affect a lot of their games.
That's why I just said what you need to do. I'm in the rink every day with these guys, and I've seen a change in 30 years, unbelievably. Last night I made a little quip when Mitch Marner passed the puck to Marlowe for the insurance goal in the game last night. I said, yeah, look at how excited they are, and look at how Marner's just reacting as if he's a grandson going up to the grandfather. And I said, the other thing is you're going to teach him how to use his iPhone. You know, so that's where we are, and coaches need to be aware of that. Organizations need to be aware of that. And Mike Babcock is definitely aware of it. And I tell this story all the time, and I'm going to keep telling it. Scotty Bowman is the only man I know in any professional sport. Don Shula was close in football, but he didn't do it in 5 decades. Scotty Bowman coached in 5 decades. And the reason why he was relevant is because he tracked the trends of every decade. And he adjusted to the trends of every decade. Didn't mean that he gave up his principles and his standards and what he believed in hockey, but he adjusted to how he had to deal with people. And that's a critical component of a coach today or a manager today or a president of hockey operations today. If you cannot adapt and adjust to those things, you have no shot to be successful. None.
So when this news broke, we started the show obviously discussing it for a good 20 minutes or so. And the first thing that comes to mind is whoever they name as the coach to replace Sylvain Lefebvre in Laval, he's got to be potentially the next coach of the Montreal Canadiens. He has to have the ability to coach in the National Hockey League, which it was seemed pretty obvious early on in Sylvain Lefebvre's tenure that that was not going to happen. Dominique Ducharme has already told Richard Labbé of La Presse that he's ready to turn pro. Benoit Gru, Philippe Boucher, he left his job in Quebec last week. We talked about Pascal Vincent, and Gallo said
he's the best. He's of all those guys you just mentioned, he's the best guy. He is a hot property. He took a step back. If I'm cutting you off, I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
But he's phenomenal. I'm a big fan. He stepped back from being an assistant coach in the NHL to being a head coach in the AHL. I can tell you right now that if I were running a team, he would definitely be involved in any discussion about a coaching position. I've run practices with him. I'm a big, big, big fan. I think he's legit big-time good. Dominique Ducharme is outstanding. I don't know if I know Philippe Boucher. I watched him play Quebec Major Junior League and watched him win a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh, and I watched him play a lot. He could shoot the puck like Al MacInnis. He really could. But I don't know his coaching background. I don't know anything about it.
And, well, Pascal Vincent, would it be considered a lateral move? Well, to a degree, but you'd be going home, you'd be working for the Montreal Canadiens, and even though Sylvain Lefebvre, easy for me to say, but even though Sylvain Lefebvre's got another year to go on his contract, if you're serious about turning this around, then money is not an issue. You outbid the Winnipeg Jets or any team that might be interested in Pascal Vincent.
Well, you know, one of the best things that Serge Savard did, he hired Pat Burns to go work in Sherbrooke. And then when things didn't work out in Montreal, he brought Pat up to coach Montreal. And the Canadiens had some really outstanding years, and a lot of it was based on the foundation that was created by Pat. Pat did an amazing job there. But Serge deserves credit for identifying that Pat's a guy that they needed to have because things were starting to get a little bit lax around there. And Pat did, you know, I coached against Pat. Pat was a tremendous coach. You know, Mitch, I hate to get morbid with everybody here, but this is just a walk down memory lane for me. Last night, where our studio was, I had to walk down this hallway at the ACC. And I hadn't been there probably in a year. You asked me a really poignant question. When's the last time you did a game? I said probably a little over a year ago there. But they didn't have this hallway set up the way it is now with beautiful black and white pictures of, you know, former Leaf players and former Leaf coaches. And on the wall to my left as I walk down, there's a gigantic picture of Pat Burns. It's a really nice picture. There's a great picture of Pat Quinn, and there's an amazing picture of Roger Nielsen. And they're spread out, but they're all on the same wall. And I was looking at him, and it's an A2. It's a guy that's involved with our audio. I said to the A2 that was working with me, I said, you know, it's interesting. I knew all three of those men unbelievably well. I had the privilege of coaching against all three of those men for a really long time. I learned something from every one of those men in terms of different strategies. Pat was great with matchups. Pat Quinn ran really good power plays. Roger Nielsen was a brilliant defensive tactician and face-off tactician. So I learned something from all three of them. And then I looked at the sound guy and I said, you know what? All of them have passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean to be morbid, but it just shows you got to learn from so many different people as you go through this. The one thing I would say about Pascal Vincent, he's run a bench at the major junior level, he's run a bench at the American League level, and he's been an assistant in a building program in the NHL. But he's good. And Dominique Ducharme, the pressure of the World Junior, that he handled that really well. And I like the way his teams played. So If those are legit candidates, which they should be, those would be high level, very, very high level candidates.
The coach called it. We're going to put together a checking line. The Canucks is going to anchor it, but don't forget the wingers. Marner's really good with the puck right there, and Marlowe can still skate. He looks off Tuukka Rask, and then he just blows it by the glove. That's an assist to Mike Babcock. You talk about in-series adjustments. This has been a massive one here in Game 3.
Well, that puck was outstanding, really good for us. Played his best game since he's been here. Maybe just the fact that maybe he didn't feel as important as he should have when he got here, maybe that affected his play, but I thought he was really good tonight and, you know, a huge factor in our win.
Pierre, I think we touched on that yesterday at this time with Plekanec. Give him something, and it brought to mind you telling us about Travis Moan was being underutilized in 2010, right? And then they made an adjustment in Washington. They moved him up and became a factor in that 2010 run. You got to give veteran players a meaning.
Correct. That is right. Now, the one thing, too, to be fair, Mike is very thorough, and he started to realize, what's the one thing that Plekanec would know probably more than any other Leaf player? Boston players. Why would he know that from all the years playing against the Boston Bruins when he was in Montreal? So who would he have played against the most? Either David Krejci or Patrice Bergeron. Both of those guys are centermen for the Bruins still. So Mike realized, and with a little help, that's a really important thing. Now, I'm not going to say that Thomas was earth-shattering great, but Thomas was very good.
He did his job.
But he wasn't a dominant player, but he did his job. Now, there were some bad situations in that game last night. That was a terribly missed call that led to the first power play goal. That was not even close. And we talked about, I don't know what the KNTV did, but we talked about it right away. Like, that's unacceptable. Number one, that leads to the power play goal. Number two, and it wasn't gross, but it's just the Bruins, how many open nets can you miss? You know, how many can you miss? They didn't have hockey luck, and the Leafs took advantage of it. And what they really did, Toronto, they took advantage of last change, and Mike was masterful. Coaches need to make differences in playoff series with adjustments and bench management, and Mike did that last night. He was really, really good.
Pierre, because we started late, I hope you don't mind if we go a few more minutes.
No, Mike, are you kidding me? I'll stay with you all night till the end of the show if you want.
Well, Pierre, it's funny that you reference, I don't know what Canadian television did with that. They did reference both the things you're talking about, and they did admit that it was should not have been
a penalty. Well, they have to admit it when the physical evidence is right in front of us.
Yeah, and I think one ref was kind of blocked out and one was looking the other way. But anyways, besides the point, what they said, though, after that is they're like, well, you know, the first goal in Game 1 could have been offside if it was challenged, and the Leafs missed a ton of open nets in Game 1, too.
Okay. Game 1 was 2 games ago.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about what happened last night, and the biggest thing to me was fraudulent call. It was a bad call. And then Boston not taking advantage of opportunities. But the third thing that I'm going to tell you was really important was the Toronto coach got engaged. He got called out after Game 2 and even after Game 1 for not challenging the play you're talking about. And he responded, I thought, with a masterful coaching performance last night. The stretch pass game in the second period was outstanding. Keeping Matthews away from Char and McAvoy in the second period was brilliant. It leads to the McAvoy goal. The Matthews goal. You can go down the line, all the things Mike did pushing buttons last night in that game. I thought, again, I've watched his body of work since he came into the league in 2003. That's one of the best games I've seen Mike Babcock coach last night.
We had a better push. Our goaltender, kind of partway through the game, really settled in and got playing the way he's capable of playing. That made a huge difference to us, too. And then obviously our fans in our building and last change, all those things.
So there's an extra day off here, Pierre. Who does it benefit more, or is it a saw-off?
It's a saw-off. I think your players need a reward at this time of the year. It's just like the Pittsburgh-Philly series. That's why I'm not working tonight. Pittsburgh, Philly has an extra day off. Toronto and Boston has an extra day off, too. So tonight I'm not working. I don't have a game, which is kind of weird. I'm not used to that.
But there was a development in Philly that looks
nasty.
Oh, boy,
is there ever. With Sean Couturier and Radko Gudas, yeah, there's a development. That would be massive. Sean Couturier has gone from being a 19 to 21 minute a game player to being a 26 to 28 minute a game player. That's significant, playoff minutes like that. That's significant. He's involved in a titanic matchup with Sidney Crosby. It's not an easy one to go through. He was the better player in game two. He was not in game one, and he definitely was not in game three, talking about Sean. But they need Sean. If they don't have Sean, I don't know what they do. I really I don't know how much life they'll have if they don't have Sean Couturier.
And I got a kick out of watching New Jersey win last night. It was 5-2, a couple of late empty netters. But to use the word nasty again, the way that thing ended up, now the series is on there.
Well, yeah, it's on. And you got some guys, and again, this is team building. It's a team building exercise, and it's an example for Canadiens fans. Ray Shero this summer notes that he needs a little bit of leadership with some of his younger guys if they want to get to the next level. And one of the guys he goes out and gets is Brian Boyle. And he gets Brian Boyle because he's been to a Stanley Cup final. He's played in major media markets. He's had success in New York and Toronto and in Tampa. And he's played so many playoff games at a high level that he's got instantaneous street credibility when he walks into the dressing room. So he does that. He goes out and gets Sammy Vatanen, who's played Olympics, who's played big minutes in playoff games with Anaheim, and he brings him in. It's all part of the team-building exercise to surround your younger players with guys that have been through it, have been tested. And I'm not surprised New Jersey is where they are. I'm not surprised at all. I would expect if they win, you know, game four, that game five is going to be really tough for Tampa because there'll be a seed of doubt planted. It's a very huge game tomorrow night between New Jersey and Tampa for Tampa. Very huge.
Calgary Flames an hour or so ago fired their entire coaching staff.
Yeah. No, are you surprised?
Not at all.
No, me neither. They obviously Glenn Gullitson's done some really good things as a coach. That roster isn't deep enough, I don't think, in terms of manufacturing offense for the Western Conference. They had some players underperform this year. They were dealing with some injury situations, too. Monahan's injury situations were unbelievable. You know, Goudreau wasn't 100% through good portions of the year. So I'm not surprised the coaches got let go there. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go in. The guy to watch for through all of this is Billy Peters in Carolina. Billy Peters has an escape clause in his contract. He's very familiar with the owners in Dallas, and he's obviously very familiar, being a Western Canadian guy, with a lot of the people in Calgary, and especially the manager, Brad Tree, living there. So that's the guy to watch to see if anything's cooking, and obviously it's kind of dysfunctional right now in Carolina. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah. That clause to enable him to look around before returning to Carolina was extended. So that certainly would make sense. You just wanted to jump in.
Yeah,
we got to wrap this up.
Just a lot of people talking about Dave Tippett, too, because we haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, Tippett's really tight with the man that owns the Carolina Hurricanes. Very, very tight. They live near one another. Brendan Morrow's close to him, too. They live all in a pretty similar community down in Dallas. So that's one to pay attention to. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dave back in the league sooner rather than later. It would be surprising if it was Dallas. It may be Carolina. I just don't, his style of play, the way he coaches, I'm not sure it's really conducive to what they're doing in Calgary or trying to do in Calgary right now. But it'll be interesting to watch. It might be more conducive to what they've got building or have been trying to build down in Carolina, so it'll be interesting to watch.
All right, and final one, Braden Holtby does get the start for Washington tonight. They got a win in Columbus without Barakowski and to avoid going down 0-3. What do you look for?
This won't be easy. And I would remember we talked about last night how important it was for Colorado to get the lead in their series with Nashville in that game last night.
Yeah.
And if they did, I thought they would win. This is for Washington. Anything less than a tie or the lead after the first period, not going to happen.
Pierre is he's normally bang on with stuff like this. Bill Peters was born in Three Hills, Alberta. So something else to think about while you're watching the games tonight. Thanks as always, Pierre. Sorry to keep you waiting at the beginning.
Oh my gosh, do it. Are you kidding me, Mitch?
Where are you tomorrow?
I'll be in Philly tomorrow.
Okay.
Toronto Thursday, Pitt Friday, Toronto Saturday, and I'm TBD for Sunday. No, because you don't know, right? You just don't know how many series are going to still be going.
All right. Enjoy the three games tonight.
Question for you.
Yeah?
Who will win Los Angeles and Vegas?
It's going to go to overtime.
No, really?
Yeah, it's going to go to overtime, and I don't know. Once it's in overtime, I don't know.
Do you really think so?
What, you think the Kings are done?
I'm concerned.
Okay, well, what? You should be concerned when you're 0-3.
No, right? But I was concerned before the series started, but, and then Doughty got suspended.
They have so many guys that are, you know, again, it could go both ways, right? It could be a blowout if they give up a couple of quick ones, or they're just going to dig in as deep as they can because it's embarrassing to go down 4 straight on home ice.
So, no question, I agree. Tell you one team that better not lose a game 4, Nashville. They better not lose game 4.
Yeah, we're still waiting for them to show up. The real predators.
They haven't played 60 minutes, that's right. They have not played 60 minutes. They better not lose game 4.
Thanks, Pierre. I think we just broke the record. 5:38.
That's all right. We can go longer if you want.
No, we can't.
Why?
We can't.
Well, just tell me why.
Because we're way behind. Rod's way behind. He's shaking his head. He's like...
It's his fault. Blame him.
Yeah. No, that was my fault. No, it was my fault. It was my fault.
Okay. We'll talk tomorrow. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.
Hey, this is Jordy Ben. Listen. This-